News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. Turning up your voice this hour, 251-343-0106. Also, we'll talk with Brooks Conkle with the Mobile Rundown. Also, the gentleman who gave Dalton a big heads up on Alabama Power rebate money coming his way.
Saving me a little money. I saw Brooks posted, and maybe some of you out there can take advantage of this, that Alabama Power giving rebates of up to $100 per smart thermostat that you have installed in your home. You know, like the Ecobees or the Nest. I'm sure there's some other brands out there, but if you bought one and installed it after January 1st of this year, or if you're planning on buying one before December 1st of this year, and you install it, send your receipt and fill out the form at Alabama Power's website, and then they'll give you a $100 rebate per thermostat, I think up to two, so $200 is the max. But Brooks saved me a little bit of money there. Yeah, that's how I posted that on Facebook.
Nice. And so in a rebate, they're just reducing your bill? Is that what they're going
to
do?
They say they send out digital gift cards. So rather than having to wait 3 months for something to come into the mail, you know, when you sign up for some services and they say they'll send you $100 or $150 or $200, they normally put it on a card, or they used to put it on a card, and then you would get it 3 to 6 months later when you had completely forgotten that you had money coming in the mail. So I guess the way they do it now is via email, some digital gift card. But that could help some folks out there for sure, I know.
All right, so where do you want to go this hour here?
Well, there's plenty to discuss, of course, internationally with Biden's phone call with Xi Jinping. Also,
2 hours and 20 minutes, they've timed it.
2 hours and 20 minutes.
Something like that.
Yeah, and then you have the war in Ukraine, of course. But we have to start local this hour, and something that Bill Riles has been saying in his news update. I wanted to get into this after I saw the news yesterday about Major League Football, MILF. You know, this group that was supposed to come down and play ball at Ladd People Stadium.
By the way, everybody that I've said MILF to chuckled.
I don't understand why. So you stands for Major League Football.
You got off a good one there, Dalton.
I mean, this is crazy. So Lanyap has the story, so does WKRG, and they both found different things as they investigated here. Lanyap actually got a statement from Danny Cordy, who, of course, is the head of the Mobile Sports Authority, does fantastic work. We love Danny around here. He's got some great events that he puts on year-round. And why wouldn't you want to bring football to town? If the plan was for it to bring more money into the economy, and it wasn't too big of a sacrifice for the city or city's finances, then it made great sense.
Well, use of Ladd Stadium.
Yeah.
Right there.
Keep Ladd Stadium afloat. Yeah. So it was a good idea, I think, on Danny's part, but they just apparently did not have the funds to keep their new football organization going anywhere past a week. Remember, there were supposed to be four teams, and one of those was the Alabama Airborne. You also had the Ohio Force out of Canton, Ohio, the Virginia Armada from Virginia Beach, and the Arkansas Attack, who would have been based in Little Rock. Four teams, a month-long season. So training camp, I think, started last week and was being held here in Mobile.
Right.
All four teams were down here. Jerry Glanville was supposed to be the coach for the Mobile team.
Yeah.
And they were staying in hotels, apparently, but not paying the hotel bills. So Cordy put out a statement, said Mobile Sports Authority was informed today, this was yesterday, that Major League Football, MLF, has not kept their contracted lodging payments up to date with our local hotel partners where the team and staff were being housed for their four-team training camp. We understand there have been numerous discussions pertaining to those late payments between the MILF ownership group and the local hotels being used. But as of today, the required funds needed to continue their housing have not arrived. Therefore, those pertinent hotels had no choice but to terminate their contracts with MLF. WKRG also dove into this and got a little more information. They found that coaches were in meetings at the team hotel yesterday when hotel officials knocked on the door and informed them to leave immediately.
Wow.
By the time the coaches returned to their rooms, hotel officials were knocking on players' doors, informing them to, quote, get out. Hotel room cards were shut off for everybody involved, with MLF. Hotel officials retrieved luggage for people in the organization if they were not already in their rooms prior to the cards being shut off. They said that happened at three of the four team hotels.
Where were the hotels? What hotels were being used?
That's what I was about to bring up. I'm not sure exactly which hotels they were using, but it sounds like each team was using a separate hotel.
Okay.
If they had four total.
Yeah.
Simone Eli with KRG was at one of those hotels. I'm not sure which one. But she said more than a dozen of the players were in the lobby waiting for rides home. One player said he was not being helped financially to get home. One coach needed a flight to Illinois, also said he was not getting accommodations to go home. Another coach with the league said the players have only received a small stipend, but were not going to be paid until their first game check. And the coach said that at least that five of the coaches have been paid at least once to this point.
I've got some questions, Dalton, when you're done with your statement here.
So Simone Eli also spoke with a league official who said they were going to try to bring coaches and players back in 2 weeks when, quote, stockholder money was approved by the SEC to help fund the league. Now, here they're not talking about the Southeastern Conference, but I'm guessing the Securities and Exchange Commission. Not sure what the whole deal is there. But the league official told KRG they were paying for players to get home and kind of contradicting what they were hearing from the players and coaches. This rings, this sounds a lot like the, was it the AAF? What was the?
The one that ran out of money.
Yeah, the one that Phil Savage was part of for a little while there.
He was part of the Arizona team, I think.
And I think they at least got a couple games.
Oh, they did. They did. They weren't able to conclude the season, so they ran out of money during the season. Questions that I would have is, number one, who's the owner? Is there one owner over the league? Do each of the four teams have their own ownership and also management? What's the infrastructure? Who are the people that are helping run this thing? We see the faces. It was Glanville. Weren't there some other people that were notable?
Yeah, there's some notable team names there. And I'm trying to find that report.
The coaches, including Glanville, are guys that, used to be, Glanville, I guess, was coach of the Oilers, coach of the Atlanta Falcons at one time. Pretty notable and credible. I don't know the other coaches, I'm not sure, but where's the money coming from?
So from the initial press release when they announced just at the end of last month that Mobile was joining the league, they were saying, you have the chief marketing officer, Bill Lyons. He said Mobile offers the right mix of demographics, location, and support that the league was looking for. They were supposed to prepay a $30,000 non-refundable fee for use of Vlad Peoples Stadium. And then they said they would also be responsible for game expenses on top of the prepayment. Each team actually had or was supposed to have 70-man rosters. So that explains why they needed four different hotels. And they were going to cut those down to 50 players over the course of this training camp week, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The coaches involved, you mentioned Jerry Glanville. You also had Ernest Wilson, Terry Shea, and Bill Comley. So Glanville, certainly the biggest name of those. And this was all just supposed to take place over a month. The season was basically from last week through August. I think the first game was going to be played next week. It doesn't say anything here about who the actual owner of the league was or what that, how that was supposed to work out exactly. Mm-hmm. But unless you're the NFL, or maybe this new iteration of the XFL that's coming, it seems like fool's gold for anyone who thinks that one of these small football startups will be able to make it anywhere past a couple weeks, because we've seen several fold now, including this one that was supposed to play at least a few games here.
It one folded before your time. We had an Arena League team. I went to their opening game. I think they either part of the ownership or he announced the games was Eli Gold.
With the Arena team?
Yeah. Huh. I don't remember if he was part of the ownership. I also knew some of the other owners locally. I knew some of these folks, and I think they played out the season, but it was one and done. But Eli Gold was involved in some way. But I'd really be interested in, they're not getting their money. Well, where was the money? What was the agreement? Where was the money going to come from? Evidently, there was enough credibility there that they bought in. Ladd bought in. The hotels bought in.
Yeah.
That probably this is a windfall out of nowhere. It's going to be great. Suddenly, the money that they expected to come in is not there.
Well, they were talking about, $4 million possibly?
Yeah.
being injected into the economy from this. Well, that's certainly not going to happen. And then you also have the USAF, which has had, a fairly successful first season. They had all the games in Birmingham, right, except the championship. They went up to Canton, and several players from there being picked up by NFL teams now.
Interesting.
But, you know, far be it for me to tell anyone to not chase their dreams, but so many of these semi-pro tackle football leagues, I don't understand the players that get in there, unless it's just a pure love of the game. But you're not going to be starting for the Rams, coming from the Alabama Airborne. I don't know.
And I would say, Fred Riley's got that team over in Fairhope, and I went to one of their games. That is for the love of the game. That really is. That's all that is. I don't think these guys are expecting any pickup.
No NFL dreams, you don't think?
I don't think so. But they are, they want to give it one more shot. They want to be on the field. They enjoyed playing. So I think that now, as far as these kind of leagues, I think you're right. I think part of the carrot that's dangling out there is this idea that this could be their gateway to an NFL career.
Mm-hmm.
I think that now, the hotels, the situation now, you did say that the plan is for them to regroup and come back in a couple of weeks?
That's what KRG heard from one of the officials of the league, and they were hearing different from the coaches and players. Mm. That sounds like those players especially were completely in the dark on what was going on.
Yeah, but I can imagine that.
But according to KRG, one league official said they are paying for players to get home, and then we'll try to regroup here in 2 weeks. From the text line, we're getting some insight here. Texter says they were staying at the Home to Suites in Tillman's Corner, Holiday Inn in Tillman's Corner, and the only other one I know of is the Marriott on Airport. So I guess the fourth one we're still looking for. I was expecting the Battle House or something, which would make a lot more sense for. But if they're staying at the Home to Suites and can't pick up that bill and some of these others, I don't know. And the hotel officials had clearly had enough of them not paying. They also say here that they stuck a catering company with a pretty large bill that hasn't been paid either. Not sure if I'm allowed to go into the description there, but not making friends by promising a lot of money to a city and then coming and not having any of that money available.
No kidding. So the Marriott, that's the closest to us, right across the interstate. Pretty credible hotel, banquet facility and all that kind of stuff. Getting stiffed with that bill. Are they eventually going to get paid? Hope so.
Yeah, if they don't, I'm sure someone's going to court.
19 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton. Your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 251-343-0106. If you want us to turn up your voice, we'll do that.
Yeah, a quick text from John here said the semi-pro football, like what Birmingham has, just another example of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. John said Birmingham has done everything in the football world except have an NFL team. I wonder if, how would an NFL team do in Birmingham? I don't think they would do as well down here.
No.
Especially with so many New Orleans Saints fans.
Yeah, this is Saints country.
Maybe some Tampa fans sprinkled around that came from Pensacola over this way, Tallahassee over this way. But Birmingham, it's like that's been a market they've been testing for years.
Yeah, it's always under the line, under the major league line. Have they had major league sports? They've never really had, no. The answer would be obvious.
The closest would be the Barons, a minor league team that we've all, when MJ was playing for them, that's when all the eyes of the sporting world were on them. But would an NFL team, I don't think they'd be able to get it going there.
No, I don't think the market size is big enough. I don't think there's enough people in that market to, look at Jacksonville.
Yeah.
They're struggling there. Now, the team's not very good, but they really struggle to sell tickets in the NFL.
Yeah, there would probably be a team in Birmingham, England before Birmingham, Alabama at this point.
You might be right on that. So, a quick look at the polls in Georgia right now. Georgia's Democratic U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock and Republican Governor Brian Kemp lead their respective challenges in a poll released earlier this week by the AJC. The poll conducted by Atlanta Journal and the University of Georgia School of Public and International Affairs found Warnock, who took office in 2021, leading former University of Georgia football star Herschel Walker, not by much though, 46% to 43%. 8% of voters said they were undecided. Kemp, who narrowly beat voting rights advocate Stacey Abrams in 18, was ahead of the Democratic challenger 48% to 43%, 7% undecided. So we'll see how that goes. Todd Stacey was a guest on the Jeff Poor Show yesterday talking about that Senate race between Warnock and Walker.
The Republican Party still has, for whatever reason, has this fascination with celebrity. You don't get a bigger celebrity in Georgia than Herschel Walker. But, I mean, there are problems there. You know, he's got some history, some problematic things about him that the Democrats are going to absolutely exploit. And Georgia's a purple state now.
Walker also he's not a polished politician. He's not.
No.
He can't speak so well on policy. You know, he is a conservative, but can he explain why he's a conservative and what all that means? I think the Democrats are really going to be attacking him for that, plus some personal things in the past that, he's famous. Well, one thing that comes along with being famous is what? Everybody knows everything about you,
yeah,
pretty much, and not everything is great.
Yeah, and that the governor's race is interesting as you look at the political, at one point, rising star in Stacey Abrams, mm-hmm. but she has been, I want to say, almost disowned by the Democrat Party, and a huge reason behind that is because, you know, she never conceded that last race, mm-hmm. and the Democrats were on her team saying, yeah, it was there was cheating in the election, you know, all the things that they said after Abrams lost to Kemp initially, but that went directly against the entire narrative that they set up once Trump lost the 2020 election.
Yeah.
So they had to choose
yes.
to continue to support Stacey Abrams or keep up the attacks on Trump for the 2020 election, and it's right. obvious which one they chose.
And Abrams, by the way, what has she done since she did not win that election? I really don't. I mean, she hasn't been in office.
Well, they used her for fundraising, certainly. She's been more of a campaign kickstarter for a lot of other Democrats around the state and country. But remember, how long ago was it? I guess it was a couple months now when she absolutely trashed the state of Georgia,
mm-hmm.
When she said it was the worst state in the country to live in. And I don't think that endeared her to many of the voters she'd probably need if she wanted to take Kemp. But he was 10 points ahead a month ago. And that latest one you have there from AJC, 5 points ahead.
A little tighter.
So maybe she's closing the window. I don't know.
And also, I think Abrams probably, there's a lot in the state of Georgia, South Georgia, and over toward outside of Savannah. And there's areas that are a little bit like the Black Belt here in Alabama, not quite, but you have a lot of African Americans that are in agriculture that are just down home people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she really clicks with them at all. You can say Black Georgians are behind Stacey Abrams. I would say that cities. Maybe the residents of cities like Savannah, Columbus, Macon, and certainly Atlanta. But there's a lot of rural Georgia where, black people are just part of the rural landscape. You know, they're there. They're trying to make it go. Of course, this is a hard time for farmers. We get that.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of conservative African Americans that live around the state of Georgia.
Well, that's where the purple comes in, right? Because mm-hmm. so much of the blue-collar areas are red, regardless of the race of the people that make those places up.
Right.
And we saw it that night in 2020 because it was headed Trump's direction for a long time. And then Fulton County, those votes mm-hmm. rolled in. And, of course, there's been questions ever since about how many of those votes were should have been legally allowed. But Atlanta is basically dragging Georgia
along for the ride.
Along for the ride, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll see if that continues. But I just think that the moderates in the city of Atlanta have got to be really, really frustrated with everything the Democrats have given them in the last 2 years.
Mm.
From the economy to socially, that's not what they voted for.
Crime's a major problem there right now.
It is.
FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on a Friday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, guys. Good morning. What's happening?
Well, it's the end of the month. Last weekend in July, and that generally means some good deals out there at McConnell Automotive.
That's right. It's the last weekend of the month, and we are trying to get some deals out. I mean, if you can look at our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, you're looking for a car, you're going to find it. I promise you. I've got them from a Tesla, you know, all the way to a Hyundai. So just whatever y'all really want. We got work vans. We got work trucks. We got diesel trucks. We got Jeeps. We got everything you even want. So, like I said, check all that stuff out online at McConnell Automotive. All our technicians are getting happy. They're seeing the air conditioning getting to be flowing in the shop. You know, if you're working in a shop now and don't have air conditioning and you want to come work in the shop with air conditioning, give us a call. Talk to Charles Prim. We're looking for some good technicians. So just give us a call, 251-476-4141. You'll be working in nice little air conditioning because it sure is hot out there.
It sure is. That's a great selling point. And, yeah, you guys do a whole lot more than sell cars. You're buying them, you're trading them, and you're fixing them. All that you can get done at McConnell Automotive.
That's right. Come see us.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
Louis Arata is the man. You'll find him and the rest of the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street just east of I-65 and online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
That's a pretty good selling point. If you
air conditioning?
Yeah. Yeah. If you work in a shop, you don't usually see that. I don't think. They just have everything's wide open so they can let the weather flow in there, cold or hot.
You don't want your techs, falling out during the middle of the day.
No, and they could, too. It's kind of weird.
It's hot enough, yeah. So I mentioned this study earlier in the show, and I definitely wanted to discuss this because there's been a whole lot of talk about the rise in crime. Specifically, it seems like homicides are way up in the major metro areas around the U.S., and we're seeing it here in Mobile. We just now dipped below the pace we were at for homicides break the record. Remember last year there were 51 homicides in Mobile, and that was the highest number since they began keeping tabs. What was that, the mid-80s they started keeping tabs on that? And we were at pace to pass that for this year, at least through the first half of the year. It's slowed down a little bit, and it certainly props to Chief Prine and Public Safety Director Batiste and everyone involved who's, you can really tell, at least statistically, that things have dipped here over the last month. They've been getting out into the community a whole lot more, talking with the kids a lot more. You can see the effort that the city is putting in to reduce the crime.
I think one of the biggest, the effort that's paid off the most, the way I'm looking at this thing, is you got people off the streets. 44 major gang arrests in two months. The bad actors, many of them, are now behind bars.
And one of our three big things was this ShotSpotter technology that they just installed and then had a success story pretty quickly. And I understand someone on the text line said, maybe I'm just cynical, but what was it? Let's see. Maybe I'm just cynical. So the expensive new system goes live, and within hours it works, but it just so happens to be a juvenile, so they don't have to release any details. Now, I don't think they're lying about any of this, but certainly they'd want to promote how
they're going to promote the
how
victories.
It's working, right? Because there's been a lot of questions about that ShotSpotter technology coming in. But this stat that I mentioned from a new book that's coming out by an author named Rafael Mangual, and the name of his book, Criminal Injustice, What the Push for Decarceration and Depolicing Gets Wrong and Who It Hurts Most. And I haven't really heard those terms yet, decarceration and depolicing. We have talked a lot about defunding the police since the George Floyd riots a couple years ago. But it seems like nationally, the only time that they put police in the news is when there's an arrest gone wrong, right? Yeah. And that usually results in a fatality and then the riots that follow. So this new study shows that police force is used in only 0.78% of arrests. So less than 1% of the time do police use any kind of force when they make the arrest. Weapons are fired by police in 0.03% of the arrests. So you think about how many arrests are probably happening nationwide for only 0.03% of them to involve the use of firearms. That is a very, very low rate that I bet if you polled a lot of Americans that maybe only pay attention to the 5:30 news or whatever it may be, they would probably think that number is a whole lot higher. But this author, Mangual, he's working, he says, to debunk the dominant narratives that black and brown men are disproportionately targeted by police and that criminal justice is working actively against them. The book, well, I'll let Mangual say it here. He says, quote, "A sober examination of the data on who goes to prison reveals that lengthy terms of incarceration are reserved for chronic, violent offenders who have already been given multiple second chances." The author noted that 60% of those that are in state prisons were jailed for violent or weapons offenses. During the decriminalization of marijuana talk we've had over the years, you'll hear proponents say that I think they overemphasize how many people are in jail for long sentences for nonviolent drug offenses, because that number is actually a whole lot lower than you would think.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that it's crazy. What was Sherman Williams?
Yes.
The sentence that he was given out, it might have been on some sort of, you know, I don't remember the case exactly, but he was, I met him, and we were talking at Light of the Village. He came by there, and we were talking about, you know, this and that, and his case and how it all went down. It was, I thought it was marijuana. Now,
it was.
Okay.
Back in 2000, he was sentenced to 15 years and 8 months, 3 counts of conspiracy to distribute marijuana.
So yeah, it was a big amount because he and another cowboy, I think, were working on the interstate or something. Anyway, and if you're listening, and I'm getting it wrong, I apologize. Give me a call. But what stunned me was he was in there for about
14 years.
13 or 14 years.
Yeah.
And so he was telling me about that, and I said, well, when did you get out? He said, last week. Mm. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Chills went through my body, but that was a... Now, again, it was with the intent to distribute. It was a large amount, but it shows you right there. That's not what happens anymore with marijuana.
No. Not. I mean, if you're transporting large amounts, then yes, but for, you know... Arrests for personal use.
For sure. But he was the case against him was distribution.
And he also had counterfeit currency charges, okay, too, involved there. Some more of these stats, 36% of violent offenders committed their most heinous crimes while on parole or probation. We've seen certainly that over the last couple years.
Over and over.
80% of state prisoners, they say, will go on to commit more crime within 10 years of their release. So Sherman Williams, as much great work as he's done since he got out, he is the exception to the rule a lot of times.
Yeah.
Mangual is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and says he makes a convincing case against the pursuit of justice through mass decarceration and depolicing. Legal police use of force is extremely rare. Illegal police use of force is rarer still. But that's not what we've seen from the talking heads here over the last few years, and I think that's a huge reason why police, why they're having such a difficult time recruiting people into law enforcement. And
MPD's down like 70 or something like that. They're 70 off where they should be in terms of the entire force.
And cities are paying for it nationwide. This is also an interesting stat. This guy who wrote the book was raised in Brooklyn and Long Island. They found that crime in New York, almost half of the incidents are in 4% of the city's area.
Wow.
So you see kind of the same thing in Chicago and a lot of other big cities, that so much of that crime is really condensed into a small portion.
Yep. By the way, everything's going to get real better real quick because you've heard about Forward.
Is this the new party, the new political party?
So look, we get it. There's problems with the system that we've got right now. There's the widespread corruption. There's the swamp. There's all that. But they're going to clean it all up. The new party's called Forward, initially going to be co-chaired by former Democratic president. So it's from both parties, okay? Mm-hmm. It's like an expansion team. You draft players from all the teams, and then you create a team.
Okay.
So they're drafting people from the Democrats and Republicans. Co-chaired by former Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang and Christine Todd Whitman, the former Republican governor of New Jersey. And they hope the party's going to become a viable alternative to the Republican and Democratic parties. And they're going to be doing some events this fall to get everybody all kind of... they're going to try to be doing, you know, like bake sales. I don't know what they're going to do. To try to get everybody all worked up. Forward's roots lie in a joint venture by three nonpartisan organizations. Anyway, I don't.
This party may last a hair longer than Major League Football.
There's going to be birthday parties that last longer than this party, in my estimation.
Yeah, this Andrew Yang, you know, he has said some stuff that's gone against what the Democrats claim to believe, but this party, I wouldn't call it conservative really by any stretch, except I guess they do. Their platform endorses term limits for members of Congress. They'd want to put that at 18 years. But they make no bones about it. They don't plan on putting a forward party president in the campaign, mm-hmm. but they are endorsing people in races. And so far, it looks like the forward party has endorsed, let's see, 7 candidates. And of those 7, 0 are Republican and 5 are Democrats, along with 1 quote-unquote libertarian from New York and 1 independent in Minnesota. So if they are, you know, supposed to be a mixture of both parties, they haven't shown it by endorsing any Republicans to this point.
Well, it says the merger involves the Renew America movement formed in 2021 by dozens of former officials in the Republican administrations of Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, and Donald Trump. So people who are in those administrations are part of this.
This is like a Lincoln Project thing, it feels like. Like all the quote-unquote Republicans that served under Bush that then became anti-Trump and switched parties. This sounds like now they're kind of trying to make a home for themselves.
846 on FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, Brooks Conkle with the Mobile Rundown on the way. Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, 8:52, 8 away from 9 o'clock. Then you got the old Jeff Poor Show on the way, don't you?
That's Dalton. Right. Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, you have some great guests. Tom Schatz, Citizens Against Government Waste.
Come again?
Tom Schatz, his name. That ought to be a good one to listen to. People love hearing how much money the government's wasting. April Marie Fogle from News Talk 93.1 will join in the second hour. Also, Parker Snyder with the Alabama Policy Institute and the usual Friday guest, State Senator Chris Elliott, joining Jeff at 11:30 this morning.
So we've got to the Mobile Rundown right now, and the operator of the website is Brooks Conkle, and he joins us on the phone right now. Brooks, how you doing?
Gentlemen, good morning.
Hey, Brooks, we're great. I'm doing even better thanks to you this week. I saw you posted on Facebook about the rebates for Alabama Power. And,
Yeah,
I had no idea until I saw your post. If you have one of these smart thermostats and you bought it this year and turned it in, and they'll give you a rebate. So I want to thank you personally for shouting that out, and then I let everyone else here know. That's good news.
Hey, you're totally welcome. You know, there's things that you do that you can just, like, you can do it and just go about your day. But mm-hmm. I thought, you know what? I should probably share this. Someone else could probably benefit from this. I'm glad that you did.
Thank you. Well, it certainly makes a difference as we all see how high these power bills are getting this summer.
Now, the ripple effect with Dalton talking about it on the air all week, no telling how many people are going to take advantage of that. So.
Yeah, hopefully some folks took advantage of that and take advantage of the Mobile Rundown for this weekend. A lot of stuff planned. We have Brooks.
A bit of stuff, yeah, heck yeah. And my cut's only 25% for everyone that turns in the rebate.
That's funny.
It's a low amount of 25%.
That is pretty good, man. I like that. What's got your attention in the rundown?
Plenty of stuff happening. The Beacon Chef Challenge is still going on at, like, all kinds of different restaurants. That's just interesting, I think. So if people just want to look into that and see what restaurants are a part of that. The Gulf Coast, the Ethnic and Heritage Jazz Festival, which has been going on for a long time, like a lot of number of years, and I feel like it's been growing. That's actually their big culminating weekend is this weekend, and like they have 2 days at the Cooper Riverside Park where there's 3 bands playing each day. So
really?
Saturday and Sunday evening.
Huh.
3 bands each day. A lot of locals would definitely recognize, like, Roman Street. They're playing on Sunday evening.
That is great. Also, Brooks, we're going to have good weather, so something that's going to be outdoors,
that's
always iffy, but I think the weather's going to be good.
Thank goodness. Yeah, I had no idea. I don't even check. I've given up on the weather. I just kind of see day to day. Hey, cool. Is there rain right now or not right now?
Don't give up on the weather, Brooke.
And, you know,
don't give up, man. Don't give up. Still, you know, just something to kind of point out. This is kind of interesting. I have no idea what this is. It was on the city website, but it's a water lantern festival, and it's out at the municipal Langan Park. It's on Saturday evening. It seems interesting. Like, literally people gathering, and they're going to, like, put out some lanterns into the pond, and they promise to clean up every lantern that goes out, but that just kind of seems cool to me.
Yeah, someone needs to let the ducks know there at Langan Park. There's going to be some water lanterns.
We were actually walking out there yesterday, and I noted there are a lot of geese out here. Mm. I told my wife, I was like, wow. I was like, they may have to relocate some more of these bad boys. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, they might have to relocate them. Also, you know, as we head to August, still some farmers markets going around town. You got the Market in the Park on Dolphin Island. I guess that's today. Central Community Market on Dolphin Street at Central Presbyterian Church. And those are still going on. So hey, if you want to get out and get some local vegetables.
How about whatever. A big show coming up to Soul Kitchen, a guy that was on Sean Sullivan's show, Midday Mobile, this week.
Yeah, the Nuge. He's in town too, right? Ted Nugent will be playing.
31st, right? Sunday evening is that show at the Sanger. No. I'm sorry. It's Soul Kitchen.
Soul Kitchen, right. And also the Sanger still with their cool off and watch a movie program they got going on.
So let's see. So Sanger, Sanger has movie night. So they've got Goonies is coming up on August 4th. So if people like the Goonies, the classic, go ahead and put that one on your calendar. And then there is, let's see, the city. I think the city's doing the cool off stuff. What was that? The dive-in movies, which is kind of interesting.
That's out in Hillside.
Hillsdale. One of those things where you take the family out there, get in the water, and watch a movie. So very cool.
A lot of great
stuff coming up, Brooks.
And they're showing the Croods. So the Croods is this one coming up, which is this evening from 8 to 10. Yeah, so like literally be in a pool and watch a movie. I mean, it's pretty interesting. It sounds fun.
Art Walk's coming up later in the month of August, August the 12th. So just kind of circle that Friday. And then we're going to have high school football here real soon after that, I think on the 19th. Brooks, tell everybody where the rundown is and how they can get on it.
Yeah, sure. They can just Google us, the Mobile Rundown, and they'll find our website. And if they want to get the events, they can sign up. We have a weekly newsletter that goes out kind of letting people know what's going on. And then folks with events can also submit them there as well.
Thank you, Brooks.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Brooks Conkle, the Mobile Rundown, on the website, themobilerundown.com. 8:57, Jeff Poor Show coming up on the way. Did you see more of the wall being built by the Biden administration?
I did, yeah.
I think the last time we were talking about additions to the wall, it's in that park out by on the very southwest coast, you know, the line between Mexico and the U.S. that juts out into the Pacific Ocean. They were working on that a little bit, but now the Biden administration quietly plans to fill in four major gaps in the wall around Yuma, Arizona. And it's one of the busiest corridors for illegal immigration crossings, and the numbers of illegal immigrants crossing the border, I mean, they've been high for a few years now, but the last 2 months, it's just exploded how many illegal immigrants are crossing the border.
If an illegal immigrant buys a mega lotto ticket,
are they eligible?
I know. I'm kind of shoving some stories together here, but you have so many that came in, and this over $1 billion is going to be won on Friday night, or could be won tonight.
Tonight, yeah.
If it is an illegal immigrant, we know that they don't have the same rights. They're here illegally.
Yes.
Can they win the lottery? Would that tick off anybody and everybody?
That's a fantastic question. Yeah. It might be one of those where, you know, the rules, you have to have a residence in one of the states. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either. You know, what's the fine print say?
Good question.
So anyway,
not something I've had to worry about, winning the lottery or being
illegal immigrant. Yeah. Right. 8:59, Jeff Poor's on the way, and safe travels, Dalton.
Thank you.
Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5.